Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, October 29th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
Stocks in China continue their march lower with a 3% loss to start the week.
Equities in Brazil are set to rally after Jair Bolsonaro wins the presidency.
IBM makes a $33 billion acquisition to boost its cloud business.
Court hearings are scheduled today for the suspects in the Pittsburgh synagogue shootings and the mail bombs, plus the latest on the passenger plane crash off the coast of Indonesia. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Red Sox celebrating their fourth World Series title in the last 15 years. They beat the Dodgers in L.A. Losses for the Jets, Giants, Nets, and Rangers. A win for the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the accounting and advisory firm Eisner Amper. Are you experiencing tax turbulence like most businesses? For a tax diagnostic and to connect to resources you need, visit EisnerAmper.com/tax turbulence.
And European equities are gaining after stocks in Asia finished the day mixed. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. Right now, S&P futures are down about 6 points. Dow futures down 67. NASDAQ futures up 3. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. The FTSE 100 is up 0.8%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.2% today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 3.05%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.79%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 42 cents to $67.17 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.10 to $12.3070 an ounce. The euro, $1.1379, and the yen, 111.94. Nathan.
Yeah, Karen, we are starting the week with another down day for the most part for stocks in Asia. Shares in China leading the losses. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann joins us with details from Hong Kong. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Stocks in Asia slide again as this brutal month in equities winds down. Shares in Tokyo erased its gains to end lower by 0.4%. But the pressure once again centered on China. The CSI 300 fell 3% even after regulators announced new shared buyback rules to allow companies to react faster to market corrections. The offshore renminbi held near the lowest level in a decade during the regular session. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yvonne, thank you. International politics front and center today. Let's begin with the results from the presidential election in Brazil. Bloomberg's Bruce Douglas reports from Brasilia.
Jair Bolsonaro swept to power in Brazil's presidential election on Sunday, marking a pivot to the far right that promises to open up the resource-rich economy to private investment, strengthen ties to the U.S., and unleash a violent crackdown on epidemic crime. The former army captain trounced Fernando Haddad, winning 55% of the vote to Haddad's 45%. In Brasilia, Bruce Douglas, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Bruce. Now, stocks in Brazil are set for gains following the election. That's after a more than 20% rally since June. Brazilian assets have been gaining for months amid strong poll numbers for Bolsonaro. Veteran emerging market investor Mark Mobius.
I'm very optimistic, although, of course, he's never going to be able to accomplish everything that he sets out to accomplish. But I think he's going to be able to do a lot, and it'll be more upside for Brazil.
Now, Bolsonaro does want to open up Brazil to private investment, strengthen ties to the U.S., and crack down on crime. UBS strategists say stocks may rally nearly 40% in the next 2 months.
Bonds in Germany are falling after Chancellor Angela Merkel's coalition suffered an election defeat. Her CDU party had its worst showing in more than 50 years, while the Social Democrats, her coalition partner, garnered their lowest support since World War II.
In the meantime, bonds in Italy are gaining after the country avoided a second rating downgrade. S&P Global Ratings lowered its outlook on Italy to negative, but kept its sovereign rating unchanged at 2 notches above junk. Now the country's leaders are focusing on how to shield banks amid market pressure from a budget standoff with the EU.
We have a big deal in the technology space. IBM is purchasing Red Hat for $33 billion. The acquisition is aimed at pushing IBM into the top ranks of cloud software companies. Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Burke has the story.
This is a big deal for IBM, certainly. It hasn't really been very competitive in the cloud space. Remember, IBM has been coping with declining revenue in the last couple of years. And some analysts are already saying that this purchase is a signal that IBM was not well positioned to compete and that internal growth just was not going to be enough to kind of get it over the line and help it compete with the likes of Amazon and other companies in the space. Bloomberg Intelligence is saying that this really makes IBM a credible player in the cloud space and gives them something that looks forward and not backward.
And the all-cash deal is the biggest ever for IBM and represents a 60% premium to Red Hat's Friday closing price. Red Hat shares up more than 51.5% in early trading.
Earnings back in focus. HSBC is out with results that beat estimates, with pre-tax profit jumping 16% in the third quarter. Bloomberg Intelligence Bank analyst Jonathan Tice has more.
Revenue and costs both slightly better than expected. Net interest margin has ticked up a little bit, one basis point, and we were looking for sort of 1 to 2. But the fact is Hong Kong is an incredibly competitive place at the moment, and the cost of funds there have jumped a lot.
HSBC is planning a hiring spree to boost its wealth management business in Asia. Shares in London are up 4%.
This week's earnings calendar, headlined by Apple, the world's most valuable company, releases results Thursday and will be joined by several other notable names this week. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Facebook and eBay will check in tomorrow. General Electric will release its results tomorrow. GE delayed its numbers for several days to give its new CEO some extra time to get up to speed. Results from MetLife and MasterCard will focus attention on the financial sector. General Motors, T-Mobile, Sprint, and Under Armour will report. And Big Oil wraps up the week. ExxonMobil and Chevron release their numbers on Friday. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. And this week's quarterly refunding announcement from the Treasury could put Secretary Steven Mnuchin on pace to set a record. Many strategists at primary dealer firms predict the Treasury will increase coupon-bearing debt sales to a record. The previous high for refunding sales was $81 billion. That was set by Timothy Geithner after the Great Recession 9 years ago. This time around, the budget shortfall is being fueled by tax reductions, spending hikes, and an aging population.
And S&P futures are lower, down 6 points. Dow futures down 77, while NASDAQ futures are up 4. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:07 now on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Good Monday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Boeing said it is saddened after a passenger jet crashed off the coast of Indonesia. Bloomberg's Carlos Salna has more from Jakarta.
Indonesian authorities have begun a grim recovery operation after a passenger plane carrying 189 people crashed into the Java Sea. The Lion Air Boeing 737-800 left Jakarta's main airport on Monday at 6:20 a.m. local time and was heading for Banka Island east of Sumatra. It crashed about 13 minutes into a trip that would normally take about an hour. Authorities have begun collecting debris, including personal items and life vests, and have recovered body parts from the area near where the plane is believed to have crashed. In Jakarta, Carlos Salna, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Federal prosecutors are seeking approval to pursue the death penalty against Pittsburgh synagogue shooting suspect Robert Bowers. Multiple search warrants have been issued in the investigation of Bowers, a long-haul trucker. In Manhattan, Mayor Bill de Blasio joined religious leaders and civil rights activists outside Temple Emmanuel Synagogue.
Violence against people because of their faith does not represent our values, and we have to reject it in every way.
Bowers is scheduled to make his first court appearance today. Meanwhile, Cesar Sayoc, the 56-year-old man charged with sending explosive devices in the mail to critics of President Trump, is set to make his first court appearance in Florida today. Allies of President Trump rejected any link between harsh political rhetoric and a rise in violence in the U.S. However, former Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson on ABC's This Week says Saturday's mass shooting and last week's attempted bombings warrants action.
This particular president has a particularly large voice and a large microphone, and Americans should demand that their leaders insist on change, a more civil discourse, and a more civil environment generally.
ABC's This Week can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. White House officials are largely resigned to losing Republican control of the House, but hopes to retain the Senate. Bloomberg reports advisors say President Trump's team still sees a possible path to victory, but talk of a red wave has ceased. Democrats say they are planning to pursue a major U.S. transportation and infrastructure measure if they retake control of the House. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Big Sunday night, John Stashower.
Nathan, to think the Red Sox were considered to be a cursed franchise, couldn't win a World Series for 86 years. Those days are over.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1. They win the World Series 4-1. And the Red Sox become the first team in the 21st century with four World Championships. Can you believe it?
Red Sox Radio, they call four World Series titles in the last 15 years. And in those four series, they've only lost three games. Only lost one in this one with the Dodgers. And that one took 18 innings. After that loss, they had to come back winning game four. Wrapped it up last night in L.A. with Steve Pierce hitting two home runs, one each for Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez. Pierce, a journeyman who's played for every team in the AL East, the unlikely series MVP, had a homer and four RBIs over the last two innings on Saturday. The Mets are set to announce that Brody Van Wagenaar will be their new general manager. He's been working as an agent. Among his clients are Jacob deGrom and Yoenis Cespedes. The Giants hit the halfway mark of the season, 1-7. They have mastered the art of scoring a meaningless touchdown in the final seconds. Second straight week for that. Only TD of the day. They lost to Washington 20-13. Eli Manning sacked seven times. The Jets are 3-5. Managed just over 200 yards of offense. Fell 24-10 to Chicago. The Nets cut a 19-point deficit to 2, but beaten by Golden State at Barclays 120-114. Rangers blew a 2-goal lead. Lost 4-3 in the final minute in L.A. Islanders a 2-1 win at Carolina. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks very much. Taking a forward look at the markets on this Monday morning, Wall Street poised for a mixed open with S&P futures down 5 points or 0.2%. Dow futures down 67 points. That's a drop of 0.2%. NASDAQ futures are somewhat higher, up 10 points. That is a gain of about 0.1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good Monday morning. It is 5:11 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are starting the week on the front foot, largely ignoring a mixed picture across Asia and slightly weaker U.S. futures as a brutal month nears its end. Treasuries are extending a gain from last week. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower. They're down 3 points. Dow futures down 52. NASDAQ futures up 19. Trading on Euronext equity markets in France, Belgium, the Netherlands, and Portugal delayed due to a technical glitch. Meanwhile, the DAX in Germany is up 0.33%, and the FTSE 100 is up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 3.06%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.79%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 58 cents to $67.02 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5 to $12.3080 an ounce. The euro, $1.1370. The yen, 111.97. Today, we are watching for reports on personal income and spending out at 8:30 Wall Street time. And 10 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report earnings today. They include Akamai Technologies and Mondelez International. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. This just in, German Chancellor Angela Merkel will not run for a new term as head of her party, according to German media. Indonesia's president says he has ordered the National Commission for the Transportation Safety to investigate the crash of a Lion airplane. The passenger plane with 189 people on board crashed minutes after takeoff early today off Indonesia's coast. President Donald Trump is pledging to work with Jair Bolsonaro, the far-right congressman who won Brazil's presidential race. In sports, the Boston Red Sox won their fourth World Series championship in 15 years, beating the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1 in Game 5 last night. In the NFL, the Giants and Jets lost along with the Ravens, 49ers, and Raiders. The Redskins won. Monday Night Football, the Patriots are at the Bills. NBA action, the Nets lost to the Warriors. The Wizards lost. NHL action, the Islanders won. The Rangers lost. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We're coming up on 520 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak at the start of a busy week for economic data. We're joined now by Kevin Cummins. He's an economist at NatWest Market Securities. Kevin, thanks for joining us. And the week is going to be capped off, of course, by the Friday jobs report for October. After the somewhat stronger than expected print we saw in third quarter GDP, does that portend a strong basis for job creation as well, do you think?
I think that would be consistent, yes. Payroll growth was pretty disappointing in September. If you remember, we were only up 134,000. But I do think that we're going to get back on track in October. We at NatWest Markets have a forecast of 225,000 jobs were added in October, and that will be a little bit above the year-to-date average of 208,000.
Yeah, it certainly would be. And you're expecting that to be the case despite the rough weather we saw this past month?
Yeah, well, it seems that it played a pretty big role in September's disappointing gain. Looking at the state employment data that we got about 2 weeks after last month's jobs report did suggest that Hurricane Florence did depress job count by somewhere in the neighborhood of about 50 or so thousand jobs. So we suspect we got a nice rebound from that, and that we'll get an above-trend reading for October.
Is that what's got you thinking overall, that we're going to see that 225,000 number, the bounce from the hurricanes, or is there something else underlying that?
No, that's mainly the thrust of our forecast there. There was, it looks like, kind of particularly in amongst some of the service components of GDP, of the employment report, particularly if you looked at the leisure and hospitality component, that in and of itself really fell off 17,000 jobs, and the trend had been in that particular category of about a plus 20. So you had a swing of almost 40,000 jobs there. Which we suspect more than made up for that in the month of October. But I think the overall message should support the idea that, as you mentioned at the start, GDP growth did outperform again in the third quarter, and we think that the underlying momentum in the economy is very healthy, and the labor market in particular has been leading the way.
So you don't think then that we're at full employment at this point? You see this this trend continuing in the long term?
For the most part, I think we're probably through full employment is probably somewhere around 4.5% or so. And right now, on Friday, we suspect the unemployment rate printed another 3.7%, which is on an unrounded basis. In September, your unemployment rate was at a 48-year low. So, you know, there is a question of how much more can you really add in a given month. But I think the underlying momentum is probably drawing some workers who have been on the sideline back into the labor market. So there's been this, you know, added slack that it seems to be, you know, pulling workers that may have been reluctant to go get a job given the strength in the unemployment rate. And we think that wage growth is starting to reaccelerate here. It's not necessarily breaking out to levels that we've seen in earlier expansions, but wage inflation should continue to move up gradually as the unemployment rate falls further and the slack in the labor market diminishes.
Yeah, and that leads into the employment cost index coming out on Wednesday. Do you think we're going to start to see more of that wage pressure showing up in the data?
I do think so. We're looking for a gain of 0.7% on a quarter-to-quarter basis, and that would leave the year-on-year rate at 2.8. I do think over time we're likely to see wage pressures of about 3-3.5% in the near future, maybe in the next year or so. But I think you're right. I think the tightening in the labor market should continue to put some upward pressure on compensation, and we think that this week's ECI is consistent with that, and we'll see some firming over time as we go forward.
And again, the employment cost index is coming out on Wednesday ahead of that all-important jobs report for the month of October coming out from the Labor Department on Friday. Kevin Cummins, economist for NatWest Market Securities, Always good to get your insights, especially on a busy week like this one. And as we check what is likely to be a busy morning on Wall Street, S&P futures are little changed at this point, down about a point. NASDAQ futures down 35 points. That's a drop of 0.1%. NASDAQ futures higher by 24 points. That is a gain of 0.3%. Price of the 10-year up 2/32, the yield at 3.06%, two-year Treasury yields at 2.80%. This is Daybreak. And it's 5:25 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we're going to tell you more about what's happening in the markets, particularly the cloud computing market, with HSBC trading up 51% in the pre-market.
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We are seeing a mixed equity picture to begin this last trading week of October. Stocks in Europe are rising while shares in China dropped 3%. Futures are mixed after the S&P 500 index closed just short of a 10% decline from its record September high. Overall, equities globally have lost almost $8 trillion of value this month.
Shares of Red Hat are surging more than 50%. IBM has agreed to acquire the software maker for $33 billion in cash. Shares of IBM are down 6%.
On the earnings front, shares of HSBC are up 4%. The bank posted third quarter revenue gains that outpaced expenses. We get earnings this week from nearly 140 companies in the S&P 500, including Apple, ExxonMobil, Pfizer, and Facebook.
In Brazil, Jair Bolsonaro is swept to power in the country's presidential election. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak editor Christine Berg.
Bolsonaro, the former army captain who is a candidate of the far right, took 55% of the vote. This is something the markets will very much welcome just because Bolsonaro has said that he will aim to create more of a market-friendly environment. He aims to open up the economy to investment. He wants to sell state-owned companies. One of his priorities will also be to reform the pension system. I guess the question now, though, is whether or not Bolsonaro can form a majority in Congress. Can he actually create an environment that will allow him to do that?
Following the election results, strategists at UBS say stocks in Brazil may rally nearly 40% over the next 2 months.
The euro is weaker after German Chancellor Angela Merkel said she will not run again as head of her party. The move comes after her coalition suffered an election defeat over the weekend.
Bonds in Italy are gaining after the country avoided its second rating downgrade in a week. S&P Global Ratings lowered its outlook on Italy to negative, but kept its sovereign rating unchanged at two notches above junk.
And S&P futures are higher, up 2.5 points this morning. Dow futures down 3. NASDAQ futures up 40. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. CAC in Paris trading now up 0.25%. And the FTSE 100 is up 1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32, yield 3.07%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.80%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 52 cents to $67.07 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $5.20 to $12.30.60 an ounce. The euro this morning at $1.1376. The British pound at $1.2815. The yen this morning is at 112.06. And straight ahead, we have a check of the latest world and national news, and of course, a look at sports as well. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here to tell us more what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Rabbi Hassan Jeffrey Myers is calling for an end to the climate of hatred and intolerance that led to Saturday's morning massacre at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh. Rabbi Myers was conducting the service when the gunman broke in and killed 11 members of the congregation.
Another example of hate in our country that just doesn't go away. And I'm concerned because I think we're just going down the wrong path. Hate has to stop.
The suspected gunman, Robert Bowers, is scheduled to make his first court appearance today. Prosecutors now want to seek the death penalty against him. Mail bombing suspect, 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc, is set to make his first court appearance today in Miami. Sayoc has been in custody since Friday and will make his first appearance in federal court, answering to five charges stemming from last week's spate of apparent mail bombs. Sayoc faces up to 48 years in prison if convicted. Families are turning up in Indonesia's National Search and Rescue Agency headquarters in Jakarta for word of their loved ones after a Lion Air plane crashed at sea. The Boeing 737 passenger plane went down with 189 passengers and crew on board. Thousands of Central American migrants continue their journey through southern Mexico. Meanwhile, Pentagon officials say they have already begun delivering new security barriers to the southern border of the United States. That development, a sign that the Trump administration is moving forward with plans to deploy active troops at the border. On Fox News Sunday, Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen says every option is on the table.
This caravan is not getting in. There's a legal way to enter this country. Those who choose to enter illegally will be stopped. We are working with our partners in Mexico. They have taken unprecedented efforts within their territory.
New Jersey health officials say a ninth person has died at a pediatric rehabilitation center amid an outbreak of a respiratory virus. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the greatest team in Red Sox history. They started 17-2, won a club record 108 games, and then went 11-3 in the postseason. What a weekend for them in L.A. They lost in 18 innings in Game 3, but had the big comeback the next night. And last night, a more routine 5-1 victory to take the World Series 4-1. The Sox last night hit four home runs, three off Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw, who they beat twice in the series, two homers for Steve Pierce, who the Sox got in a hardly noticed midseason trade over the last 11 innings of the series. Pierce hit three home runs, drove in seven. He's the series MVP.
This has been a lifelong journey and best feeling of my life. This is what you, you've grown up wishing that you could be a part of something like this. And that special group of guys out there to celebrate with them, that was awesome.
Hardly the only Red Sox star. How about David Price? He gave up a homer last night on his first pitch and nothing after that. So much for Price being unable to win in the postseason. In his last three starts, he worked 19 innings, allowed just three runs. Nine hits.
Always had belief in myself and my abilities, and to be able to come through, on this stage and in October for myself and for my teammates. I know I can do it now, and that's always a good feeling to have. It's just good to know.
Another parade in Boston this week. The city's 11th championship won over the last 18 years. The Giants go to their bye week 1-7. Five straight losses. They're 0-4 at home. They lost to Washington 20-13. Only that close due to a Giants touchdown in the final minute. Adrian Peterson put the game away with a 64-yard run. Jets lost in Chicago 24-10. Nets beaten by Golden State 120-14. Rangers lost in L.A. 4-3. Islanders 1-2-1 at Carolina. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street, the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the unsolved murder of an unusual billionaire in Canada. Also in this week's issue, we have a comprehensive look ahead to next week's midterm elections. Josh Green wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Republicans are consolidating around Republican candidates. Democrats are consolidating around Democratic candidates. So what looked at one point as if it could be a huge blue wave in the House now looks tighter.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, Nathan. New York City is seeing its biggest wave of new residential development in at least a decade. The number of new and converted apartments put on the market in Brooklyn last year exceeded those in Manhattan for the first time since 2009, according to the Wall Street Journal. Three animal protection bills are on the assembly docket today in New Jersey. Nosey's Law would ban the use of exotic animals in traveling acts and give New Jersey the broadest ban on animal acts in the country. Other measures would strengthen regulation for veterinarians, pet groomers, and kennels. Well, a recent study by the careers website Glassdoor says Hartford, along with Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Indianapolis, and Cincinnati, are the best cities for jobs this year. The report scored the cities by weighing the ease of landing a job, affordability, and job satisfaction. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that U.S. Bank Corp. and some other banks are about to get more relief from regulators.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. The owner of Cinnabon and Auntie Anne's is set to weigh an IPO in 2019.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following today's UK budget set out by Chancellor Philip Hammond.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Qualcomm says Apple is $7 billion behind in royalty payments.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following, big regional banks like U.S. Bank Corp, Capital One, and PNC Financial Services Group are about to get more relief from regulators appointed by President Trump. The Federal Reserve and other agencies responding to legislation that's meant to soften rules for smaller lenders are said to propose a series of complex capital demands only apply to Wall Street mega banks. That's according to a person familiar with the regulators' plans. Freeing regional banks from those requirements probably wouldn't have much of an impact on their overall capital levels, but it would ease their compliance burdens, potentially make it easier for those regional banks to grow. S&P futures are higher by 6 points, a gain of 0.25%. Dow futures up 34. NASDAQ futures are up 49. This is Bloomberg. And we're coming up on 5:41 on Wall Street. Up next on Daybreak, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for expert, data-driven commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top stories. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are starting the week on the front foot. U.S. stock index futures are also moving higher now, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 51. NASDAQ futures up 59. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.07%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.80%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% or 55 cents to $67.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $5.40 at $12.30.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1385, and the yen is at 112.17. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, U.S. Attorney Scott Brady says federal prosecutors are seeking approval to pursue the death penalty against Pittsburgh synagogue shooting suspect Robert Bowers. A Lion Air jet carrying 189 people crashed in the Java Sea off the coast of Indonesia shortly after taking off from the capital of Jakarta. In sports, the Boston Red Sox won their fourth World Series championship in 15 years, beating the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1 in Game 5 last night. In the NFL, the Redskins beat the Giants. The Jets lost along with the Ravens, 49ers, and Raiders. Monday Night Football, the Patriots are at the Bills. NBA action, the Nets lost to the Warriors. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Islanders won. The Rangers lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 5:48 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. That's our platform that offers informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now in our London Bureau by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor. And Ed, as UK Chancellor of the Exchequer Philip Hammond prepares to present his budget to Parliament, Alex Webb has a piece on the UK tech tax plan. He's calling it both pointless and essential. What's Alex's point here?
the point here is it looks like Philip Hammond has backed off plans to unveil a levy on digital services in the budget later today. And he's missing an opportunity here to take a leading role in overhauling a tax system that's really long been unfit for purpose. In recent weeks, Hammond had looked willing to impose a levy on revenue on people like Facebook and Google. And then over the weekend in a newspaper interview, he suggested instead he would set a deadline for a multilateral international agreement. And if no progress is made by that deadline, Britain would only then consider unilateral measures. And this seems a missed opportunity here. A multilateral solution would, of course, be better. A scattergun approach by several countries could mean companies are taxed on the same income twice. But whatever's introduced in Britain anyway is unlikely to generate significant tax proceeds. But if unilateral action did send Silicon Valley's lobbyists scurrying to Capitol Hill demanding an urgent international accord so that there's consistency in the global system, then so much for the better. And that's why it's such a shame if Monday's budget really didn't include a levy.
All right, let's take a look further out into the Eurozone here. That's what Mark Whitehouse is doing, saying that Europe is too exposed to Italy to let it go. I'm guessing Mark's talking about European bank exposure to Italian investments.
Indeed. Europe's leaders are, of course, in a high-stakes game of standoff with Italy, trying to coerce the populist government to drop some of its budget-busting spending plans. But how far can they go? Could they risk pushing Italy out of the currency union? Well, look at the exposures of French and German banks, and they have a very strong incentive to seek a compromise. Now, looking at what banks are up to can be very useful in understanding how France and Germany behave. Now, when revelations of Greece's fiscal mismanagement triggered the crisis back in 2010, French and German banks held about $115 billion in various Greek investments, according to the Bank of International Settlements. Now, this gave their governments ample reason to give Greece the financial lifeline it needed to survive. But 5 years later, when a new left-wing government in Greece tried to rebel against the austerity measures that France and Germany had imposed, the bank's exposures had dwindled to less than $8 billion. And of course, they proved much more willing then to let Greece grow to the brink. So how much do the banks have at stake in Italy today? A lot is the answer. As of June, French institutions had some $316 billion in Italian investments, and that's much more than they ever had in Greece. And German banks' claims on Italy at $91 billion were smaller, but they're still significant.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Opinion Managing Editor, joining us from our London Bureau. Thanks, as always. You can read more about these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg Terminal, subscribers can type OPIN Go. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It's 5:52 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute resolved faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
The U.S. Supreme Court will hear arguments tomorrow to settle a nationwide disagreement on whether a lawyer is ineffective if he refuses his client's wishes to start an appeals process, even if the defendant has signed a waiver. Men will once again dominate U.S. Supreme Court arguments when the court kicks off its November sitting today. And the rollout of an expanded version of health care coverage that doesn't comply with Obamacare is likely to continue November 1st after a judge said there isn't enough information to predict the impact.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at a rare public warning from a top Federal Reserve official last week, saying that banks appear to be chasing dangerous deals and forgoing protections against borrowers going bust. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with Peter Henning, professor at Wayne State University Law School.
I think one reason for the warning is that as you pile on more and more debt on these companies and the notion that the economic expansion at some point is going to end. I guess you can believe the fairy tale that the economy will only grow and grow, but at some point there is likely to be a recession, and if you have these types of loans where the assets are just never going to cover the amount of debt, then you could see some large banks taking a real hit to their capital. And I think that's the real fear, that do the banks have enough capital? Do they have enough to protect themselves? We don't want a downward spiral like we saw back in 2008 when it was the subprime lending that ended up spreading throughout the financial system.
It's been 4 years since the government cracked down on the leveraged buyout market. And now the Fed is waving yellow flags, not red ones, caution, not stop. Do you think they should be waving red flags at this point?
Well, it's an interesting question that you have in the banking sector. The banks are doing very well at the moment. They are enjoying the rising interest rates because they're still paying very low interest rates on their deposits, and they're able to lend it out at a higher rate. So that's the sweet spot for any bank. But I don't know whether it's a red flag yet, but if you start to see the economy turn, you're going to see companies that have loaded on so much debt, over six times their earnings, for example, has been generally the cutoff. And I think the Fed's fear is that you're going to have too many banks saying, I want in on this. And that's where the dreaded term contagion can come from, because when one domino falls, a bunch of other dominoes are going to fall. And that's the fear, that you don't have enough of a cushion there to protect banks from a series of very bad loans, over $1 trillion worth at the moment.
And that's Peter Henning, professor at Wayne State University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is now 5:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg ETF report. That's brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at OppenheimerFunds.com/ETFs. Now here's Bloomberg's Pim Fox.
Exchange-traded funds known for buying and holding are seeing bigger flow swings than more liquid exchange-traded funds. Here to tell us more, Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Eric, what's happening?
Yeah, this is rare, caught my eye, because normally the most traded ETFs like SPY and IWM are the ones that see the big flows because they're used by bigger investors. The ones that are less liquid, some Vanguard products, for example, are seeing bigger flow swings. And the reason isn't so much that mom and pop are freaking out.
Right, they're not panicking.
No, it's that model ETF portfolios, which is like a advisor-used model that has a lot of assets, are starting to use lesser liquid ETFs because they're getting more liquidity, and they like the cheaper ones. So VU, the Vanguard S&P 500, has seen some bigger fish come into it because now it's starting to trade a little more.
Does it also have tax implications?
No, it's really just they want cheap too. And they also want an ETF to have enough liquidity to satisfy them. So if a cheaper ETF gets enough liquidity, you will find bigger fish migrating to even the Vanguard products.
Eric Balchunas, ETF analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. That's the Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Pim Fox.
All right, Pim, thank you. S&P futures are up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 47 and NASDAQ futures up 62, the 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 3.08%, yield on the 2-year 2.80%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.